Welcome to the Quiero.com Spanish Property Podcast, where we interview people who recently purchased their dream home in Spain. They tell us what worked, what didn't, and what they'd do differently next time. I'm Beth Davison, and today I'm speaking with Lewis from Lincolnshire, who purchased a villa in Ear in Almería. His goal was to buy in Spain before turning 60. He only picked up the keys 9 weeks before we spoke, and you can hear whether he did it before that milestone age. He worked with estate agent Spanish property expert to find his dream home in Spain. Check out the show notes at quiero.com/podcast to find links and resources mentioned in this episode.
Hello, my name is Lewis, and I've recently purchased a property in Spain, Almería, in a small pueblo called Illa.
Lovely. And when you say just purchased, you do literally mean just purchased. When did you get the keys?
We got the keys approximately 9.5 weeks ago.
Oh, amazing. Well, congratulations, because that seems super new and exciting. How did it feel?
It is brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. It's a dream come true. That's how it feels.
How long has it been a dream then?
Many years. I would say a good 20 years ago, I always had the idea that I would like to go and move to Spain because of the weather. Mm-hmm. And it's something we discussed many times. And it was something that we planned maybe when I was 60, that we hopefully would be in a position to be able to do that. And luckily enough, I'm only 59 and we managed to get there.
Yes, a year ahead of schedule. That feels good.
Yes. It was brilliant. Yeah, I do have to pinch myself sometimes when I get up in the mornings just to make sure that I'm not dreaming and we did actually do it. So yeah, it's lovely.
That's so nice. And so why the decision then? Because you've moved permanently to Spain. Why was that the goal and not have a holiday home that you sort of dot between or go over for longer periods once you've retired? Why the decision to go permanently?
The permanent thing came later. It was initially when we started to look for property, we were looking at something like an apartment that we could come to for probably 6 months of the year. So that was the start of the search. And it was actually the house that we found that sort of really then encouraged us to consider moving out permanently. And as I've said, it was a dream anyway to do that. Mm. So once we found the right property that we could live in, permanently, that was big enough to do that, it sort of changed our plans a little bit. And I'd seriously got fed up with the English weather, yeah. Sitting there through the winter in front of the fire, but not being able to get outside. And outside is something that I like to be outside. So, so the property had a little bit to do with the change in idea, not just a holiday home, but let's live there permanently. And also the Brexit thing that came up a few times as well.
Okay, so it was a little bit political, kind of the choices.
Yeah, it was. Some of that did have a bearing on it because we'd read many things about how complicated it could be in the future. And so if we're going to do it and do the permanent thing, let's get on with it. So that's what we decided to do.
Amazing. And talk to me about the house itself then, because it must be pretty special to have caused that much change, really. What happened? Talk to me about it and the first time you saw it and that kind of thing.
Well, it was, we'd been searching on the internet, as everybody else does. We came across the Spanish property expert, Daniel Marin, spoke to Daniel Marin and told him what we were looking for. And he came up with two or three properties. Two of them being in the village of Illa, where we are now. And we had quite a few conversations with Daniel and eventually booked the flights and made the appointment to meet Daniel out in the village. And it was quite complicated because the property we came to look at was quite run down. It was a repossession and it needed quite a lot of work doing to it. I'm from the building trade. That generally isn't a problem for me, but I was looking for retirement, not to take on a building project in Spain.
Yeah, totally.
But nevertheless, we looked at the property, too much work, and Daniel Marin said, I have another one that's just come available. Would you like to look at it? It's literally around the corner. So we walked around the corner and went in and viewed this property. I wasn't particularly interested. I looked at it and thought, there's quite a lot of work there. It's been empty for a long time. There's a lot to do. And I came away thinking, but no, that's not the property. But unfortunately, that evening, my wife said, Lewis, that's the one I want. That caused a bit of a problem because I didn't really take that much notice of the property to start with. And we didn't have an opportunity to come back to it other than from look at it from the outside, which we did that evening. We came back to the village again, looked at it from the outside, and she said, I really like that. It's a nice property, needs a little bit of cosmetic work, is how she put it. But I think she's spoiled because I'm a builder by trade. But it needed a new kitchen, and it needed lots of work. Windows needed sorting out, the shutters, it needed completely decorating, the garden was overgrown.
Yeah, just a little bit of cosmetic work then, that's fine.
I've let her off. I forgive her now because the cosmetic work is now finished. So we've spent 8 weeks here working. We haven't really gone out and done anything other than last week was the first time. So the idea was to get here and get on with the house and get it sorted so we can live in it comfortably. There's a few little bits to finish off, but on the whole, the work's complete. So I spent 8 weeks working solidly, but we've got a beautiful house.
Yeah.
It's very spacious. It's got a superb man cave. We're into motorbike and mountain bikes, paddle surfing and all that sort of thing. And it's got a huge man cave, which is, they call them underbuilds here in Spain. And it's absolutely superb for me. So I've got benches set up in there. And in fact, I'm just decorating that house at the moment because the motorbikes are due to arrive at the end of the week. And it will all be nice and clean for them to arrive. And we shall enjoy Spain and the scenery that it has to offer. That was another reason why we came to this area. Because the scenery, the roads for mountain biking, motorbiking, it's exactly what you're looking for. What we're looking for. So
I feel like when someone dreams of their retirement, this is what they imagine. This is what they kind of think of. Just the freedom, beautiful scenery, doing what you love. And it's sort of a new life, a new leaf. It sounds like it's brilliant.
Yeah, it is. And all our friends that we said goodbye to back in the UK, you know, said you're starting a new venture, a new life somewhere else. And it is that. There is a lot to do. There's a lot of things to organise. Your health insurance and applying for your residency and all the things that come with that. But having purchased the property in Spain, that's quite a complicated thing. You have to stick at that. It comes up every now and again. It's like you think, oh dear, we've answered all these questions so many times. We've given the paperwork so many times and they want it all again. But I believe that's Spain. And that's how Spain works.
We hear about that a lot. Like, that's quite a common, just the bureaucracy and get ready for it and just keep, you know, just back and forth, but just have the stamina and it does kind of work out. I'm interested to know, with the work, so you've obviously been over there 8 weeks doing that. Were you doing that alone or did you have help? Did you hire any local help? What was that like?
All the work I've done, the only help I've had is my wife.
Wow.
Give her the paintbrush and the tub of paint and said, right, that room's ready, you can start decorating.
You can do your cosmetic stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you didn't have to cost that then, basically, if that was you. Because I was going to say labour costs and things, how do you factor that in? But actually, if you're doing it all yourself, you're in the best possible position to do it for the best value.
Yes, definitely. And yeah, people have said that here in the village, the English that we've obviously got to know already have said you save such a lot of money because you're not calling tradesmen in. And the only tradesman that we had was an electrician, and that was the day that we got the keys to the property. Well, I think it was the second day, but we had a little bit of a problem. The solicitors arranged for the electric to be switched on and all that sort of thing. But when we got in the property, although the electric was on, there was no fuse box in the house.
Oh, no.
Something that my wife had missed when she had a good look around.
Oh, no. To be fair, it's something I'd miss. Do you know what? It wouldn't be on my list of things to look out for. It's just not what I think of.
No, exactly. No, and it's partly my fault because I should have taken more notice. But again, so I'm not used to calling tradespeople in. Who do I talk to? Where do I start? And I went back to Daniel Marin at the estate agents. I phoned Daniel and said, I'm stuck. We've got no electric, we've got no fuse box, but I believe the electric is on. You know, can you help me? And he was extremely good. He said that, bear in mind, Lewis, it's August, and this was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so everyone's having their siesta. I'll do what I can. But within an hour, he'd contacted me back and he said that I've organised an electrician to come out within 2 hours and they'll come and have a look and see what they can do for you. So that was my first contact, calling people in, really, which was brilliant. These guys turned up 2 hours later, and I didn't expect them to turn up 2 hours later. I thought it would be more like 4 hours later, being in Spain. But no, they turned up, I had a look, they gave me a price, which was excellent, and they said, we can come back tomorrow evening and we can put it all right for you. So, and they did.
Amazing.
And that's the only hiccup that we really had, yes, yeah. But again, the Spanish property experts, it was the only contact I really had. And so that was my first port of call, and it paid off once again.
Smoothly.
So, yeah, it was good.
Fab.
Yeah.
That's great. What about shipping things? So I know you mentioned the bikes, which are arriving this week, but when you move your whole life, you know, that's a lot of stuff. How have those logistics been, packing up and moving everything over?
Yeah, I started packing in the UK once we'd found the property, and I was a bit keen because everything was in a box and I was ready to go, but we hadn't completed on the purchase and I was a bit ahead of myself. It was complicated. Organising, having things shipped over to Spain was quite complicated. We had loads of quotes, and there's lots of different ways that you can do that, get your furniture over. You can have removals that will come and pack it for you and ship it over. It's too expensive. We was quoted £9,000 and £10,000.
Wow. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, it was just so expensive. So we felt like they didn't really want to do it. And then we went for the other option. We looked at options where we could hire a vehicle ourselves. And I had a friend say that he would come with me, drive over, and then drive the vehicle back. So we costed that, and that came out with some accommodation there and back. It was £4,500.
Mm-hmm.
And we was going to go that route. We was quite close to booking the vehicle. It was quite a big vehicle. It was it didn't have to have a special license to drive, but it wasn't just a transit van. It was a big lorry.
Right, yeah.
And we found out at the last minute that in Spain, driving that in Spain, you have to have a tachograph. And that got even more complicated. So we abandoned that, and I think we'd got about 10 days to go. And we went down the route of basically the shipping container, but it's transported on the back of a lorry, and your stuff is loaded with other people's belongings. And it's not ideal. It was £4,000, did have a few things damaged, but when you see how they cram it in, it was all very good when they loaded it back in the UK. We were there, they were very careful. It all went into big crates, and we felt very confident. If we'd have known what happened to it afterwards, we probably wouldn't have gone that route. But it all arrived, nothing was missing. Things had a few dints and scratches. We did have insurance. We took out all the insurance that we required. And then it's all good. It didn't spoil anything. But it is logistically, it's something, it takes some organising. But we got there. So
yeah,
it's all good.
I think it's good to factor in these extra costs. Like, not just the organisation, but also, you know, £4,000 isn't inconsequential. Like, it's a good thing to have in the back of your mind as we're going to need a pot of money to help us with this.
Yes, definitely. And my wife's very good with paperwork. She was extremely good with paperwork. And we'd even costed selling everything back in the UK and just only take a transit van full, if you like, of our personal stuff.
Yeah.
But it was expensive to do that. Buy everything new in Spain, it worked out just too expensive.
Okay,
so,
interesting.
Again, move the stuff ahead of his best, yes.
Yeah. And the last bit of the process that I wanted to ask you about is the bit that you're going through right now, which is your residence here applications. How have you found that comparatively to all of the organisational stuff of getting your things over there, buying the house? You know, there's a lot of processes going on here. How has the residence here application been?
That seems to, at the moment, been the easiest part. We was going to do it ourselves, and we then decided to use a solicitor to help us. And at the moment, the solicitors seem to get the appointments necessary at the police station and all this sort of thing to get a residencia. So we've gone with a solicitor to help us with it. And again, Jill's done all the paperwork, presented it to the solicitor, the application's gone in. So at the moment, it seems quite straightforward, quite easy compared to what we've been through. But yeah. Maybe I'm speaking too soon. Maybe it will get more complicated later on. Then obviously we've got a little bit of a deadline as well, which, yeah. And obviously everyone's fighting the Brexit thing. So everyone's chasing really to beat the end of the year. So that's why everyone is extremely busy.
This episode will probably air next year by the time this goes out. So I should just say for listeners, we're recording this towards the end of October and the deadline is 2 months away now. So actually that feels like you've already got your paperwork sent off. That feels like kind of the best time scale that it could have been.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, and that was something that we considered from day one. Once we'd found the property, we was keen to move it on as quickly as possible. Mm. And again, Spanish property expert Daniel Marin was really helpful and pushed the, because it was a bank repossession that we purchased. So he pushed quite hard for us to get the bank to move as quick as a bank can ever move in Spain. But again, he worked really hard and made it happen. So time-wise for us, the time frame for us was perfect and the paperwork's in, and hopefully we will beat the deadline for the end of the year. Yeah. It's not the end of the world now. Because the paperwork's in, we're okay. The only thing will happen is we will have to take a driving test if we've not completed this application by the end of this year. Apparently they're saying that we will have to take a driving test, and because we're bikers, another motorcycle test to use the licence.
So ideally, you'll be able to avoid that, yeah, ideally, in a dream situation.
Yeah, that's the idea, yeah.
Well, my final question is, if anyone is listening to this and also sitting on a 20-year dream and sort of close to making it happen but hasn't begun yet, what would your advice be to anyone thinking of moving permanently to Spain?
I think the most simple thing is just follow your dream. It's not easy. Things aren't easy in life, but follow your dream, and if it's something that you really want to do, go for it. Stick at it. You will have to work hard, and I think it also makes a difference if you've got some help. If you've got a good agent, we've bought and sold quite a few properties in the UK, and it definitely makes a difference if you have a good agent looking after you and is on your side and is doing what he can for you. So. But do it. Just do it, because the weather's beautiful and the people are beautiful too. So it's the best thing ever.
Oh, I'm so pleased that it's worked out for you, and congratulations. And your first 2 months have gone well, and I hope there's many, many more happy months ahead of you. But thanks so much for talking to me today, Lewis.
That's fine. Thank you very much for the call. It's been lovely.
Have a lovely day.
Yeah, will do. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. And thanks to Lewis for sharing his experiences, and to Spanish Property Expert for making this episode possible. I'm so glad that Lewis found joy in his man cave, and it just goes to show what you can achieve even when there's no fuse box when you arrive. Remember, if you like what you've heard, you can search this agent's properties and more on Quiero.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. This podcast was produced by Quiero.com, and our mission is to connect you with estate agents and properties throughout Spain. Whether your dream home is a rustic farmhouse surrounded by olive groves or a lock-up and leave apartment on the seafront, you'll find everything you need at Quiero.com. We love hearing how these podcast episodes have helped you find your dream home in Spain. Please do continue to share your feedback with us. And if you've enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate you taking the time to review and rate our podcast on iTunes or your preferred podcast listening app. Your feedback, reviews, and ratings help us reach and connect more people with their dream home in Spain. And whenever you're ready, here are three ways we can help you. Ask a question by emailing beth@quiero.com. We'll try and answer them all in an upcoming Q&A episode. Get a location guide by emailing beth@quiero.com. We'll reply with the latest data and information on the areas you're interested in. Calculate your budget. Simply visit quiero.com/budget, enter two numbers, and you're done. Tune in next time when I catch up with Chris from Staffordshire, who's buying a property in Spain for the second time. So I'm keen to hear what has changed in the 20 years since his first purchase. I'm Beth Davison, and you've been listening to the Quiero.com Spanish Property Podcast. I'll see you next time.